Everybody walking this earth deserves a safe space to celebrate and to be themselves and to feel love. And community here is everything. Without it, we fall. And so it's really, really important that we uplift our community.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Devin Corbello. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all the tools you'll need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
And we got another great show for you. Episode 97, we're talking to Don Wheat of SWLA Pride Fest, an upcoming event, obviously celebrating Pride Month. All of that coming up very soon, a fun conversation. But before we get to that, you know what time it is, Devin. Even though you are co-hosting this episode in replacement of Jillian, you should know what time it is.
It's On the Eats time, right?
That's it. And this week for On the Eats, we head down south just a little bit. Not that far, though.
Mm-mm.
And a little east. A little down south and east. Southeast, if you will.
Southeast, yeah.
Southeast in the southwest.
Yes.
Right? We're going to Lazy K Meat Company. It's been established since about 2020, and they've got, it's a restaurant, of course, but it's also a meat market, right? Yeah. So they've got a lot of different frozen meats, things like tasso and pork chops. You saw deer burritos. Steaks,
yeah.
You know, a nice assortment of different cuts that will make the entire family happy.
Absolutely. Definitely not lazy, for sure.
Oh, that's a good point. You get to be lazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you get to go and get your food and enjoy your meals.
Yeah, I enjoyed being lazy eating my food there, not having to make it.
I was lazy after because I was so full.
Oh, yeah, good point. So they have plate lunches every day, but they also have a few menu staples, things like what you got, the cheeseburger.
Yeah, cheeseburger was excellent. I love a good cheeseburger. It was juicy, flavorful, and not too big where everything was falling out of it. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to, there's an art to making the cheeseburger.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they seem to understand it.
Yeah.
And the fries were good. It was the cornstarch kind of fries.
They were crispy. They were great.
Yeah.
A little different flavor than what you see pretty much anywhere else. Going back to the cheeseburger, I also added some grilled onions, which I highly recommend that.
Sure, sure. I went with the plate lunch of the day. There's two options typically most days. This one was meatball stew or pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a pork chop fiend. So it was a big fried pork chop, great flavor, on top of a bed of mashed potatoes. And they looked like red potatoes, and they still had their skin on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they were creamy.
Yeah.
They were chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Buttery, you know, my lobster too buttery. Like these are too creamy, right?
Right.
Like these mashed potatoes, they were fantastic. Loved them. Ate every bite. And look, I was so focused. I ate all of the pork chop and all the mashed potatoes before touching my other sides.
Well, and I was hoping he'd offer me a piece, and he didn't. So it
you know what?
That
I'm
good.
That's pretty bad. You did offer me a fry, and I enjoyed it. And I almost did it. I was like, he's not going to want any.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was on me.
It's okay. Next time.
That one's on me. I went with the green beans. They were actually kind of spicy and flavorful. They had some onions and sausage, you can tell, and maybe some bell peppers and stuff. And so, as Jill often likes to say, they didn't just mail it in.
Right.
You know, there was real work that they put into this side when it's easy to kind of mail in just a green bean. Very, very good. I really enjoyed them. And I'm not the biggest green bean fan, but I really, really enjoyed them. And then, of course, you can't go wrong. They had yams on the side as well, which it's always a buttery cinnamon goodness.
Right. A little sweet treat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a side that feels like a dessert.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't go wrong there. But speaking of dessert, we actually got that too.
We did, and this is my favorite part, to be honest with you. It was
a bit of a sweet tooth, eh?
Yeah, I do. It was pecan pie cake. So it was white cake topped with like the pecan pie. I know I said pecan pie earlier.
I was going to say, so how do you say it? Or are you just kind of a pecan chameleon?
Yeah, I say whatever comes out my mouth. So,
okay.
But pecan.
Same. Yeah. Same. Anything that I say is coming out of my mouth as well. So I understand what you mean.
Right. I don't have a preference. So I try to appeal to all audiences, I guess, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the pecan pie filling on top of the cake, which is really great and sweet. Very cinnamony, very moist and fluffy, I thought.
I thought it was very sweet. Like, yeah. If you have a sweet tooth, you're gonna love it.
Oh, I dreamt about it last night.
But I also appreciate desserts that that you can take two or three bites and say, that was plenty. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. I loved the fact that two or three bites satiates the sweet tooth that you have, right?
It was a big piece, and we shared it amongst ourselves at the table. So everyone, I think, had their fill.
Yeah, and so I really appreciate desserts like that too, because, you know, after just eating a big meal, sometimes you just want, I just want a bite. And because it's such a hearty bite, it perfectly sums that up. And
absolutely.
Beyond that, there was also, peanut butter cake. There was like a yellow with chocolate. And these are huge slices and are definitely not just, you know, box cake mixes thrown together there. There's some real work put into each of those.
They also said they have a strawberry one, which was their most popular. And obviously it was because it was sold out by the time we got there.
And we didn't go late.
No.
We were kind of early for lunch and it had already sold out. Yeah. So maybe make two sets of strawberries because obviously it's pretty popular. Yeah.
And also, I don't know if we touched on this, but I think this is located on the Creole Nature Trail. So, this restaurant. So, it's a great stop before you head to the Creole Nature Trail.
Good point.
Down south.
Or on your way back out of it, because they are open fairly late-ish for dinner. And they, you know, they have like music bingo nights and
steak night, live music.
Yeah. So, they definitely have some different things, which, we didn't talk about. You kind of walk in and it's deli style in terms of you ordering it there and then you go have a seat. But then they also in the back, that day it was indoor only, but they have a whole patio and stage set up and really nice covered patio kind of area there on the back that for the music nights and stuff. So, there's always something different depending on what time you're in there. And like you said, on the Creole Nature Trail is great too, because there are some snacks that you can pick up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Either on the way back or on the way to. Yeah. Because look, as we said before, it's called the Creole Nature Trail, but it's one heck of a drive.
And it's a drive.
You're probably going to be hungry at some point.
Right. And this is a great stop. I'm hungry before, and I'm hungry during, and I'm hungry after. So great stop for that.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Dawn Wheat, the driving force behind SWLA Pride Fest. She oversees everything from sponsorships and branding to the overall vision that makes the festival a true reflection of Lake Charles. Her roots in the LGBTQ+ community run deep, being raised by a lesbian mother and a transgender parent. She spent decades managing and owning gay bars before she and her spouse, Lori, ultimately landed in Lake Charles, and together they built Castaways in Big Lake, which became the birthplace of the SWLA Pride Fest. Today, we're talking about how a spark of an idea became one of Southwest Louisiana's most inclusive celebrations. Welcome to the show, Dawn.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Southwest Louisiana is known for our big city amenities and small town charm, which makes for a vast array of experiences that one can add to their itinerary, from the types of food to the outdoor adventures and national and regional entertainment that the lake area draws. But before we get started, we ask each guest a few questions to let our listeners know you better and how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Crawfish or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Good choice.
Yes.
Why gumbo?
I'm from Crowley, so we're Cajuns, love to make a good gumbo, and I just can make one in my sleep.
Yeah.
I love them.
Is there a gumbo season?
As soon as it fall. Fall. No?
No. I want gumbo all time. If it's 100 degrees outside, I'm like, it's kind of feels pretty good gumbo weather to me.
Right. You know, it's a little rainy.
I love gumbo. I have a tradition right now that we're part of. Every Wednesday, we go eat gumbo.
Oh, really?
A buddy and I, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, it's the hot liquid that I think, you know, we make a fricassee instead. We just take some of the liquid out, which makes it to a less liquidy.
That's fair.
Gumbo.
That's fair. I mean, look, we're not looking to get science-y here.
Right. All right, question number two. Poolside or beachside?
Oh, poolside. It's the sand.
Yeah.
It's the sand.
It gets everywhere.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, last one, concert or comedy show?
Probably a comedy show.
Yeah.
Because I really like to laugh.
Yeah.
Concerts, we probably had the first 40 guests that we had on here, 39 of them were music.
Really?
And I would say somehow over the last, probably the last 40, we've had probably about 15 or 20 comedians. So that's nice that we're going for some comedy shows just to kind of switch it up.
I like to laugh. That's why I think I like drag so much. Right.
Exactly.
Because you know, queens can be really funny.
Yes.
Well, let's get into the conversation. What is your connection to the LGBTQ plus community here in Southwest Louisiana? We kind of mentioned it a little bit with the bars you've owned. And how did you end up being the one who makes Pride Fest happen each year?
Well, I'm gay, so that's my connection to the community. Laura and I have been together for 30 years.
Very
now.
Easy.
We've had different bars throughout the years. And when we came out to Big Lake, we decided to build an island bar that didn't mm-hmm. have, you know, it wasn't labeled. It wasn't mm-hmm. labeled. It was just an island bar. And after Crystal's closed down, they didn't have anywhere to go. And so we started throwing drag bingo mm-hmm. on Sundays. And it was really packed. And I mean, people were coming like in droves out here. I didn't think they'd go all the way out to Big Lake, to be mm-hmm. honest with you. But in 21, after I think the storm had happened. Was it after? Yeah, it was after the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So Kat came up to us and said that they had had a Pride Festival here before. And they need a new place to start having it. Mm-hmm. And so we said, yeah, let's do it. So we decided to do it, and it was absolutely magical. I mean, 400-something people showed up, and, you know, it just felt right. It felt good to be, I don't know, queer again, because I was living on the island, which they don't have many. We were known as the girls that lived on the island, because it was just, you know. And so it was nice to be out and proud again, and scene. It did come with a little backlash, though. A lot of backlash, actually, for castaways.
Well, we appreciate, especially as someone like myself that's part of the community, I appreciate all the work that you've done and continue to do in your team. Kind of leading into that, the tagline, be you, be proud, and be festive. It does feel like more than just a catchphrase. What's the message it mean to people who show up every year? And now, how do you feel like this has been?
That really means a lot to me. Yeah. I thought long and hard because... I'm probably a hippie at heart. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted a festival that was more like a big old love festival. So I wanted everybody to come. I didn't want it to just be for queer people. I wanted to be whoever the you is. So be you, whatever that is, mm-hmm. straight, gay, bi, whatever you identify as. And be proud of that, you know, and be in a safe space where you can be that person and not be judged and, in fact, celebrated. Uh-huh. And then be festive. We're there to have a good time. That is all it's about. Be love, be happy, and love your neighbor and uplift everybody. It's really just a big love festival.
I love that.
So that's what that means to me. And I thought of it really hard. And that's what I came up with.
Well, this is what, the fifth year now,
yes.
right? Moving
yes.
forward. What does it mean to you to be able to say, man, that we've now done four, we're moving on to five, and looking at it from, you know, 20,000 feet and saying, and I love how it's grown.
I do. I absolutely do. We had at Castaways each year, and as it grew, we had it multiple days, which I'd love in the future, and I do see a long future for this festival, that we go back to multiple days. But it almost broke the building. It was just too many. It was growing so fast and so big that we, you know, decided that it needs for us to go up a level and have, like, you know, RuPaul girls and, like, mm-hmm. big artists. We needed to take it to a space that could grow with that. And the Lake Charles Event Center could do that for us. They have both what we loved, which was a family day, made us cry every year. Mm-hmm. Couldn't go without that. So it has the outdoor space for mm-hmm. that. And of course, the upstairs for the adults to enjoy a really good show.
Take me through that. What does the schedule kind of look like?
It's from 1 to 5, and we already have 50. Plus vendors. We have
wow.
over doubled what we had at the 2024, the fourth one. We did skip a year because that's when Castaways was for sale. And we're breaking everything down. And Kat, who is one of the founders with
Cut,
me
God
and Laura.
Correct.
Right, yep. right. Me, Laura, and Kat. And she went with another group that tried to throw something while we were, you know.
In transition.
Yes. And we thought we were passing the torch.
Right.
And it didn't quite take off, and I think it might have got canceled right before. And we got approached and was like, y'all do it again, please, please, please. And just the outcry, I didn't realize how much it was needed mm-hmm. and how much they loved us and liked it. So we said, okay, we just sold Castaways. We have a little coin. If we have to pay for the whole festival ourselves for the first one, you know, out there, because now we have to pay for a venue where before we donated the venue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but so it is our fifth year, but we did skip a year, but we don't plan on skipping again. No more skipping. It will be annual every year. I want people to look forward to it and say, when is the date? Not, is it happening? And then maybe once we get it so bright, that torch, one day we'll pass it on to someone, because this festival, I feel, is bigger than any one person. Mm-hmm. Definitely bigger than me, Kat, Laurie, okay? We want it to go on past us. We want it to grow so big that they don't, who made it? I don't, who, it doesn't matter. It's mm-hmm. just a thing that happens every year in Lake Charles.
Sure. And so with that, the schedule for this year, what does it look like?
1 to 5 is the outdoor event for mm-hmm. kids. It's a family time. It is, everything is G-rated, including the vendors. We make sure that anything, you know, risque goes upstairs. We do have adult vendors upstairs for the main event. But 1 to 5 at 3 o'clock is the show. We do have a small show outside for the local artists that are trying, the up-and-comings mm-hmm. that want a shot. So we're giving them a one number. They mm-hmm. have a couple of singers, so it's a variety show. Yeah. Singers, performers, you know. And then in the middle of it, we have a catwalk contest, mm-hmm. which the kids love. And we love, too, because we watch them get so nervous and then go up there. And once we start hooping and hollering, they're like, oh, and they leave with such confidence. And then they encourage their mom to join it, because we have an adult one right after. Mm-hmm. And we have awards for that. And then that ends at 5. And then the main event is at 8. Mm-hmm. The doors open at 8. The meet and greet is from, I believe, 8:30 to 9:30. And the show starts at 10.
So speaking of, this is one I'm excited about because I am a big fan of hers. But Georges, RuPaul's Drag Race queen, is coming.
Can't believe it.
I know. How did the booking come together, and how'd y'all pick her?
Oh, well, she is young, and yep. she's full of energy, yes. and she will give you a good show. No, a great show.
Yes.
I've been watching her 3 seasons mm-hmm. that she had, her original season, and the 2 All-Star seasons. Yeah. Yes. And I'm like in love with her all over again. I'm watching TV while I'm cooking, just laugh and smile. She has such a great personality. She lives right there in San Antonio, Texas. Oh. So she's a neighboring, you know.
Yeah, Southern
neighboring
queen.
State.
Yeah, she's Southern. Yeah, yes. And I can't believe we actually got her, because she was literally coming off of All Stars and she was abroad.
Yeah.
And but we did. That's why, you know, the ticket prices, I know some people are like, what? But I literally only have the tickets and the tables are just to pay for uh-huh. the cost. That's it. Because it's, you know, a higher entertainment.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, a bigger venue that, of course, you know, isn't donated by us, but.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and these are huge acts between, you know, we just had a conversation with the Juneteenth Festival last week, and then this one, like, these are 2 national acts. They're bringing in Cheryl Underwood, a national comedian. She's coming in, and so seeing them, and then George, these are huge in each of the communities that the festivals are celebrating.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I love that we're getting big time acts that says, you know, you don't need to go to Houston to a show
right.
to see it.
Exactly.
Right. And I think this is the first RuPaul girl
yeah.
to perform here.
That's amazing. I cannot wait. And the, like you said, the meet and greet starts at 8:30, main show's at 10. For someone who's never seen a drag performance, what's your top advice on to go in?
Expect a good time, period. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. They are hilarious, yeah. okay? The fashion, they're just super entertaining. I mean, the energy.
Yeah.
Look, this is something you have to do in person. Yeah. Period. You got to feel it. It's the energy that comes from them and from us just giving it back, them giving it back to us, the high kicks, the death drops, you know what I mean? The things you won't see from just, you know.
Yeah, and Georges is a dancer, and the other queens
yes.
are across South Louisiana. They're also great, and
yes.
kings and queens.
We have a drag king. We do have a lot of variety yeah. in our lineup. It's not just drag queens, it's trans, it's drag kings, mm-hmm. it's actually a female that does drag, and we have a singer. We added a singer to start off the show. Yeah, that's Rome. So,
well,
yeah.
Your passion for each of the events, as in just what they are, and then obviously
your passion for the work in the community and then your family and everything that kind of goes into it. It's apparent. To see this festival being a celebration of a safe space and a safe celebratory space, what does that mean that to you that you can give that to others?
The world. Because everybody walking this earth deserves a safe space to celebrate and to be themselves and to feel love. And community here is everything. Without it, we fall. And so it's really, really important that we uplift our community and let them know that they're loved and they're seen and they're heard and that they matter.
Part of what makes it feel different from bigger events and bigger cities is that this one's rooted right here in Southwest Louisiana. The performers, like you said, the vendors, the people in the crowd. Why does it feel, why does that local connection matter so much to you?
Well, because community.
Yeah,
like. The community connection. I mean, spotlighting, you know, our local artists. You know, a lot of places around here were doing, you know, some drag and stuff, but they were only people from Texas. None of our local performers are being showcased at all. And so we need to uplift them because you never know when the next Georges is going to be born. And it might be born right here in Southwest Louisiana.
We need another Louisiana queen.
Yes, we do. We do. We definitely do.
And Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southwest Louisiana is receiving part of the proceeds, correct?
Yes.
Why was it important to you to have that charitable cause tied in?
Well, we do it for every year. The fourth year was a cat rescue and a dog rescue, two different ones. And it's important to give back because Big Brother Big Sister is there for our LGBTQ plus youth that sometimes aren't accepted by family due to maybe their religious beliefs or maybe just not knowing, you know, not being educated or anything. But they are advocates for that here. And the suicide rate is so high that, you know, having them as advocates for us is very important. But giving back to the community that helps us is very important.
Right. So there was a focal point to why they were chosen, which kind of makes it even more special.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like Lori had a trans teenager that reached out to her, and Lori sent him to Jillian, who is the head of Big Brother Big Sister, and she helped that person out so much. And it's just a resource that we need in this community. And we're having a silent auction that night for them, in addition to what we're going to give them, a percentage of the tables and the ticket sales.
That's amazing. So for somebody that's listening right now, that's never been to Pride Fest and is on the fence, what do you say directly to that person to get them to make the decision to come?
Well, we only do this once a year, and we have a lot of fun things that are I can't give out right now that are surprises that really you don't want to hear about it the next day and miss it. You want to be right there in the action. You want to feel it. Like I said, it's electric. So to feel it in person is the way to experience it. But it's once a year and we need your support to help it keep going because right now we're having to, you know, really push to start it back up again, you know, and grow it. So eventually it can kind of support itself. But right now we really need, you know, everybody to come and check it out. But I promise you, it's going to be an amazing time, an amazing time.
And looking forward, you've mentioned that the year was skipped, no more. This is going to be continuous. How do you see this growing? What are your plans, visions, and goals as it continues to stack up years?
We definitely want it to grow bigger and bigger each year. You know, we want it to have a bigger impact on how people see queer people here in this town. You know, we want to see that we're just fun-loving, happy people, that we're just like you. We have kids like you. That's why we have the kid, you know, portion. Laurie's vision, I wish she was here to tell you, but she wants a carnival. You know, we looked into getting a Ferris wheel out there, but we had a marsh. We were in marshland. We could have never put a Ferris wheel out there. And we had somebody who was kind of willing, but he saw the land. He was like, no. But the event center now, yes. We can have carnival rides and have it big and fun. Just keep growing it bigger. We want it to last past us. You know, Lauren, I don't have any kids, but this would be a legacy for us and something I'd be super proud to say that I had a part in starting. And I just committed, you know, all my energy to it this year and said, if I have to be the one every single day, and I do every single day work on this, put up my own money out of my own bank account until, you know, we started selling tickets. But it meant that much to me to not let what we had built up already fall. And I heard this voice and say that we didn't go that far to just go that far. Mm-hmm. We need to make it bigger. We need to make it so big that it'll be able to be passed on without worrying about going out.
Right.
You know? So I have a lot of energy to keep that flame going. So yes. You can see.
Thanks again to Dawn for joining us here on this show. And the biggest thank you of all goes out to you, the listener, for joining us here on this podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating or a review wherever you get your podcast.
It'll help us grow our audience and further share the unique experience Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, where to eat, and events happening this weekend. I'm Devin Corbello.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again to Devin for joining us here and filling in as co-host. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit you.